Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Fitness Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and we're coming from the New Africa Fitness Association of Washington, D.C. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and my co-host, along with my co-host, Brother Aziz, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Brother Bilal. Alhamdulillah. Oh, yes, thank you.
Well, how are you doing this evening, brother?
Oh, pretty good. I was looking forward to that good message we're going to hear this afternoon that will help us move forward.
Well,
with
if you're looking forward to hearing it, then I won't delay very long. We'll go ahead and get started with the show. Ramadan Mubarak. Yep.
Ramadan Mubarak, my brother.
A McCafe drink is the perfect way to escape. If your heart is racing, chill out with a refreshing strawberry banana smoothie. When you need some excitement, take an adventure with a caramel frappe. And when you want to add a little fun to your day, let loose with a creamy chocolate shake. Sip the day away at McDonald's. Enjoy tasty drinks like a caramel macchiato, mango pineapple smoothie, and cool shakes. A small McCafe drink is just $2 on McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu. Limited time offer cannot be combined with any other offer or any combo meal. Price and participation may vary.
Blog Talk Radio.
Strongly logical. And he came to the conclusion that I can't let my mind interfere with my search for understanding. I got to keep my mind out of it and just follow what I see and test it with reason and logic. So his orientation or his discipline for that kind of search was scientific. It was more than just rational. It was scientific.
Right.
He watched the sun, and it came up beautifully. And he said, oh, this must be a god. It is so splendid, so beautiful. But he watched it. He wasn't satisfied to take his mind, his study mind, off of what he was observing. So he waited until it got all the way up and started going down. And when it went down and out of sight, that's when he made his conclusion.
Right.
He said, that can't be my God. For my God is not a God to test. Now, Abraham wasn't stupid. He wasn't testing the physical sun and the physical picture and language of things. And those ancient people weren't stupid. You think they had enough sense to run governments and societies and build ships and things and develop science? They had developed science too, to a certain extent, back then. So don't think they were stupid. They were never seeing those things like the masters are taught to see them. They were never seeing it that way. They're always seeing those things as metaphors, as symbols of something in their own life. So not only is this Abraham's conclusion condemning one physically, looking at the physical thing and saying that's a god, but more importantly, and more truthfully, to the language of man and history. What he's saying is that this consciousness that you say is in you, that rises up out of you to light the world. Your ideology is not God. I've tested your ideology. It sets. It goes out. It has its limitations. It dies. This is what he said. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. And I find it to be of the nature of all things in the material world. Your ideas are just like the everything else in the material world. Your ideas come and go.
Right.
One comes with a bigger idea, put out your light.
Yes, sir.
Like the eclipse of the bodies in the heavens.
Right.
One body come and cross the path of another body and put that body in the dark, even though it be daytime.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
Yes. All those are signs of what happens to man's mind and man's idea. So he found that none of these ideas could serve Mother God. None of these ideas could keep his life for him. Then we read of how Prophet Abraham and Moses, how they had to have really do battle with rulers of their day, with the rulers of their day. And the good example was Abraham too, but a very good example is Moses. Moses finally had to separate from Pharaoh and the Egyptian government rulers and go on his own. And they had to test their knowledge in a contest with each other. And Moses' knowledge defeated the knowledge of Pharaoh's learned ones in that particular knowledge.
Correct, sir.
His knowledge defeated them. Then after he defeated their religious order, and he went out, God told him to leave Egypt. So he was kicking the people out, and Pharaoh's army went out after him.
Right.
Pharaoh couldn't bear.
Right.
Now, they can't let this man go out after insulting me like this.
Yes.
So they went out to pursue them, right?
Yes, sir.
And in trying to pursue them, the follower, Moses and his followers, they were blessed to cross the Red Sea.
That's right.
On dry land.
That's right.
The sea parted.
Yes.
The waters parted and gave him land to walk across. And when Pharaoh's army tried to cross that same sea, the waters converged on them and drowned them.
That's right.
They were drowned
right.
In the water. This is the story. All has to be understood as I'm teaching you to understand things.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. So what does it mean? It meant that God had blessed Moses with a higher knowledge and a more powerful vision and strategies superior to that of Egypt.
Right. Right.
So when they tried to pursue him to prevent him from reaching, going to his destiny, they were overcome by things between, in between, by things in between. And this was water. It was water. So really what we understand by Moses being able to go through water and water not interfere, water not block him or cause him trouble, it was the psychology. Moses was given a superior psychology. And when the army of Pharaoh tried to do what Moses and his people were able to do, they failed.
That's right.
They didn't have the psychology.
Right.
So their senses were drowned.
Yes, sir.
Their senses were drowned trying to pursue him. Praise be to Allah. So Moses had scientific discipline. As did Abraham. Scientific disciplines. But this religion is more than we think it is.
Right.
And don't think the world is stupid. The world keeps us in the dark.
Right.
The world is not stupid.
Right.
Believe me, world leaders have known what I'm telling you. They've known it all the time. But you know, they hurt themselves when they hurt us.
Yeah, right.
And the learned wise ones, they knew it was coming.
Yeah, come on.
They said, okay, they locking up the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, putting the ignorant ones in the dark and won't let them have light.
Yes,
so they predicted that there's going to come a time when that darkness is going to spread and cover the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Everybody going to be in the dark.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that they won't know certain things, but the light that God gave for the direction of mankind on this planet Earth, they would a time when there'll be a book. And one of some person come upon this book and pick it up and try to read it. And he'll be a person that's not educated. So he said, I can't read this. So he takes the book to another person who's educated. And he asked the book, he gave him the book, this is the Bible. He gives him the book, and he said, will you read this for me? The man says, I can read it, but it's sealed, it's locked up. So there was an educated man who didn't know the meaning hidden under the symbolic language or the metaphorical language, or allegorical language.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he couldn't read it. Reading it literally wouldn't be reading it.
That's right. Come on.
So he couldn't read it either. So the same Bible says that there was a book no man could read. No man could read.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Right.
In the Quran it says, and none knows except we but Allah.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
No man knows it. No one knows it but Allah. Oh. Is that so? Yes, that's so. And Allah gave it to Muhammad. Then he told him that you have been missioned to teach them the book and the ta'wil.
Yes, that's right.
Both. Oh, yes. Yetlu is from ta'wil. Yetlu is from ta'wil. That you are to teach them, educate them into the knowledge of the ta'wil. Why would God have a ta'wil in the Bible, in the Bible or in the Quran, and nobody ever gonna get it but God?
Yes, sir.
When I was following Ali Elijah Muhammad, 19 years old, I'd call that stupid.
All right, come on.
Make it clear. Yeah, I had one of the holier than thou sheikhs tell me once. No one knows that really except Allah. It's in Quran. No one knows it that way except Allah.
Yes, sir.
Well, the Quran tells you over and over again.
Yeah.
And God guides whosoever he pleases to guide. And God will give the meaning to whomsoever he pleases to give the meaning to. Yes, he's the author, and they're in his protection. Always under his protection. And we can't get it unless he releases it. But if it's in the book, it's for man. So now, let's go back a little bit. We're not going to preach on too long. I'm glad you found some chairs. Now that looks like justice. I don't like it when it's not justice. And you don't either. You might tolerate it and ignore it. I don't tolerate it, I don't ignore it. Yes, see, you're nice, you're real nice. I am too. But things, some things are more important than other things. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we used to spit on the floor on Stony Island. We ain't on Stony Island anymore. And this is not Juma either. This is not Friday. And it's hot. So please, make my homies as comfortable as you can. All the time. We're all in the same boat. Ain't no big eyes and little U's here. No. No. And Mr. Farrant insisted upon that. That there be no importance among the laborers. No one standing up over the others is not more important. No, we're all the same. The justice is one. One justice. And it got to be applied to all. Yes. So we're going. going back now, kind of stepping back to the beginning, where we mentioned the children of Abraham. Children would be all the followers according to the Bible and according to the Quran too. His followers would be all the people that have came up in his particular mind or logic. Those nations that follow his logic are influenced by his logic. So following the spirit of his logic. Those who follow the spirit of his logic are actually are educated and know his logic and follow the logic itself. They all are the followers of Abraham. Now, you see his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, Ishmael and Isaac, two sons. Now, according to the Bible, the firstborn son was Ishmael. He was the first. He was older. Then Isaac. Isaac came afterwards. Now, again in the Bible, we have two sons. In the beginning, or in the Genesis, when the Genesis started, two sons. And these two sons are from Adam.
Correct.
One son is Abel.
Correct.
The other one, Cain.
Correct.
And if you have studied the Bible and taken notes, Abel was first. He was the older child. Cain was second, the younger. Now, look how they compare with the two sons of Abraham. Ishmael came before Isaac. And Isaac ends up getting recognition over his brother who came before him. And there was Abel and Cain. Cain ends up getting recognition over his brother who came before him.
That's right.
And actually, he buried his brother's life in the dirt,
right,
according to Scripture, both Quran and Bible.
Right.
Now, what are these lies? In Abraham, I've already described it. I think I told you. Maybe I didn't finish it. But Abraham was devoted to social life, family, that means social life. Abraham was devoted to social life, but he also was a man of great faith. So he was devoted to both social life and spiritual life. And Jesus described himself as a reconciliation for both of those lives. He said, I come not of water only, but of water and blood. Water, the spiritual life, blood, the social life. Yes. So here we have these sons. Two sons in the beginning, and two sons in the beginning of Abraham's new world understanding that Abraham is going to bring. Two again. One represents spiritual life, one represents social life. Ishmael represents the spiritual life. Abraham put his wife, Hagar, who was pregnant with his son, among a new people.
Right.
And he left them there, and he went on to complete his mission for God, the mission he had to complete for God. And the baby needed water, and the mother couldn't find water for the baby. She was desperate to find water for her baby, Ishmael. And while she was in panic, she happened to looked back to see how the baby was doing, and she saw a spring of water coming up out of the desert.
Right.
Spring of water coming up out of the desert at the heel of her son.
That's right.
So her son was rescued by a kind of miracle.
Yes, her son
was rescued. But the water came up at his heel.
Yes.
And heel is what you balance yourself on.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Heel is what you balance yourself on. You stand very comfortably on your heel. It is a round ball.
Right.
Not a square, not a rectangle. It's a round ball. And things blown by the wind appears to blow those things in circles, right?
That's it.
Huh? Yeah. When you're smoking, you look like you blow smoke rings, huh? You're blowing ring circles out, huh? Yeah. Rings. And when you look at the heavenly bodies, they all look like they're circles.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Heavenly bodies.
Yes, ma'am.
They all look like they're circles.
That's right.
Man made a mistake and thought the earth was flat like a table.
That's right.
Before science came and corrected his perception.
Yes.
He thought the earth was flat, but he thought those things were round. Huh?
Yes.
So when you read all this, and when something hit the water, it makes circles. Huh? Yeah. You drop something in the water, it makes a circle. It ripple out. Circle. I could talk on and on and on this. I got a lot more to say about this. Water is something. Yeah. And a lot to say about our spirituality. Lots I could say, but more about our spirituality. But that's not the subject. So I'm going to have to stop. Hebrews, can you follow me a little further?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's continue.
Right.
I'm about to believe we are the black Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
All this stopping and stalling.
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. So, we're looking at these two lives, the spiritual life and the social life. Spiritual life and the social life that God created to be together. And another sign of the two lives is when a woman gives birth. The first thing that appears is water.
That's right.
The water breaks.
That's right.
And then later the blood.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
But before then, she was alarmed maybe. By a little spotting of blood, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A little spotting of blood. A little sign that this is going to be life.
Yes,
it's not just a trip to the washroom. This is going to be life. Yes, but just before the baby is delivered, the water breaks, and there's a lot of water. The water breaks, a lot of water. And then come the baby, look like in blood, coming out, water and blood. Hmm?
Right.
Water and blood. Life. So it's a sign from God. The wise of ancient times unknown to us, they saw that as a sign from God. So they took the blood to be the social life and the water to be the spiritual life. And they reasoned that we must be of both. We must have spiritual life and social life.
Yes, sir.
Of both. So, you know, Cain hit his brother in the head, jealous of his brother's role as a servant of God. He hit his brother in the head and then buried his blood in the earth, in the sand.
Right.
Yeah. So it looks like the murder, looked like he killed him, got rid of Abel. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that he put his social interest into material interest and killed his role in society, ended his role in society as a leader. Isn't that what has happened to us today?
Yes, sir.
They have put our social interest and social life in material interest. Business and making money.
That's right.
And having material things.
Come on.
And have actually killed our role as social reformers and as leaders for the social community.
Right.
Yes. That's what has happened.
Yes, sir.
So don't think of the past when you read about these things. This is something that started in ancient times, but it's continued. It's never been stopped.
It
just keeps living and keeps taking the people away from their good interest and good life, wiping them out.
Yeah.
And after they bury them for a time and they get old, they make as much as they want. And the new order is not exciting anymore and not producing as much wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Then they change it back to the old order and start the game all over again.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So Abraham also is the educator. He's the true educator.
Right.
Because he's not guessing. He's following law, material law, material logic, sound reasoning. So he arrives at the gate of science, the great illuminated gate of science. He arrives at that gate and he opens it for the whole world of mankind, Abraham. So the one who perceives that all matter is connected and related and under one universal law, and that all matter can be studied by human brain, human mind. And human mind can arrive at its inner nature, the inner nature of matter, and discover laws hidden from the eye, and discover the nature or the behavior of matter, nature, or behavior of the original behavior of matter, being our nature. The original behavior of matter that can be discovered. So he opened the door to a treasure that covers the span of the universe.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right, yes.
And then the Quran says the throne used to be upon the water. But now, the throne extends over all the land and all the waters. And then he said, he promised you a garden. It ain't Eden no more. It's bigger than that.
Right, come on.
See, it's expansive as the width of the heavens and the earth.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes. That's the language of Abraham. They said, in this order that we have, it's the Millah, the order of Abraham, Hanifa, the upright one.
That's right.
Upright in his nature. Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Man of faith with rational concern, devoted to rational concern. Man known for digging wells. Now look at a well. A well, you make a hole in the earth so deep that you get down to the water level.
That's right.
Under the surface of the earth. And the water comes into the hole. And that's the well. And it stays at the level that it was at before.
That's right.
So you have to put a bucket down there and get it up.
Right. That's right.
Or build you some apparatus to go down there and bring it back up, right?
Yes, sir.
But even if you make the hole square, water is going to round that hole.
Right?
Yeah, in time, water will round that hole. So that's why the Quran doesn't only call it a well, they call it Ain, an eye.
Mm.
Because that hole represents perception.
Yes, sir.
It represents a way of seeing. But really, really, he doesn't want that. He just want to know, do I have you for good?
Yeah, that's it.
Do you like me so much you're going to stay with me forever?
Yes, sir.
I like it here with you. So let me convince you that I love you just crazy. I'm crazy in love with you.
Yeah.
And you come back to his normal mind, you start to pet him. He might crack out to the door clock. Yes. So we should notice those things. Eyeballs made round. So your vision, your seeing things should be universal. Like the round bodies of the heavens and earth.
That's right.
Earth is round too, science discovered. that your vision should be universal.
Yes.
And your vision should seek to complete itself.
Yes.
A circle, a perfect circle, represents completion.
Right.
Your vision should seek to complete itself. And you should have one vision in common.
Yes.
With mankind and all living things.
Yes.
That should be scientific.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Fish got an eyeball just like yours. In fact, I've seen some animals, if they could just take that eye and put it in their head, my head, and wouldn't germ me up. They could fix some way where it wouldn't contaminate my body. You could have some eyes just as pretty as yours.
Yeah.
Prettier.
That's right.
From animals out there.
Right.
Eyes look just like yours.
Yeah.
Pretty nice round eyes. Yes. So getting back to these sons, I explained Cain and Abel. Cain, the man of the ground, and Abel, the one who was a shepherd, he raised animals. And animals are family. If they're sheep, family of sheep. Cows, family of cows. Animals exist in family just like man. Even chickens. They have roosters and hens and family taking care of their babies, their bitties, and their chicks. So, but he was one who was a shepherd, the sheep. That's did I say Abel? That's who I meant. Yeah, if I didn't say his name, that's who I meant. Abel. And the Bible says Cain, he was thinking about and reflecting on Abel, how Abel was so loved by God. And Abel was raising animals. And his product is called fruit of the womb. Fruit of the womb. What a mother produced from herself. And in the Bible, the product or the contribution of Cain is called product of the ground. Product of the ground. And the product of the ground that he was typical of is given in his name, Cain. Cain is the grass. Scientifically speaking, Cain is a grass, but you know Cain grows tall, very strong, and you can use it in construction. Grows tall and very strong, very strong and hard on the outside, hollow on the inside. Isn't that greedy materialist?
Yes, sir.
You try to pat him on the back and rub him. Oh man, ain't no life there. It's just like the outside of a cane. That's right. Just like the outside of a cane. And you try to reach him on the inside, ain't nothing there.
Yeah.
Hollow on the inside.
That's right.
Hmm? And they're playing that for all of us. Hollow be thy name. I know it's spelled differently. But he said he made Adam of clay. Then Allah revealed to Muhammad that yes, clay and sounding clay. Not only clay, but sounding clay. Yeah, this man God made can hear the ring. I'm talking about the man that God made, not me. Talking about many, many that he made. Yes. So here's this one brother taking over the role of his older brother in society. Then Jesus comes, and he says, I am before the world was. You know what he said? So when did the world come? According to the Bible, Genesis, the world came, the industrial world came with Cain. Cain. Cain is the one whose children, Cain's children, became industrialists. Built, what is that, stone cutters, building great buildings and structures, iron workers, instrument makers, all of those things came with Cain's sons, the sons of Cain, yeah? And Jesus Christ, he says he's before the world, and he says all before me were thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. See, they only wanted to take your life that God wants you to have. They were out to take it from you, deprive you, rob you of the life that God created you to have on this planet Earth. All before me were thieves and robbers. Does it mean all before a particular man, a particular Jew, born of a particular woman, at a particular time in history, single, flesh and blood, real person? No. He personifies. He's a type. He personifies. He's a type of that is in all people and belongs to all people. And he's the type that's called Adam. When God made man, he created him, he called him Adam. And the same Bible says, and in that day, he named them Adam. Named them Adam. Created he them and named them Adam. To tell you plainly that Adam is a human type. So don't think he's one person.
Right.
Then Jesus come too. We know Samson was one person, but that's not important.
Right.
What's important is that you recognize that he's a type, a universal type.
Yeah.
That's in all people.
Right.
And that's the type that Cain deceived.
Yeah.
And took his role away from him.
Yeah.
In society.
Yeah.
So if you notice, the scripture is just one theme. The theme is God's will for mankind and how the enemy, selfish ones, interferes with that and robs man of the great glory and great promise that God created him for. That's the theme. That's the major theme from Genesis to Revelation. From El Sadi Hatu and Nash.
Yeah.
Look how the Quran is. May I seek Lord, seek refuge with the Lord of mankind.
That's right.
Come refuge.
Yes.
I need your help from something bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
That's it.
The God of mankind.
That's right.
Huh?
Okay, well, that's right.
Yes. From that wicked one who whispers into the hearts of mankind. From among both jinn and men. Huh? From among both men and men.
Yep.
The Christian West allowed themselves all to be Europeans, allowed themselves all to be called Jinn. Gentiles.
Yeah.
Jinn.
Right.
It ain't no difference. Gentile is the West. Language for jinn.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The Quran didn't put down all jinn. Said a part of them heard the Quran being recited.
That's right.
A party, a portion of them,
right,
heard the Quran being recited. And they said, what a wonderful recital.
Yes.
Right. And no man should reject it. That's what the jinn said. Yes. And they asked the prophet, say, everyone has a jinn. Say, do you have one? His reply was yes. And my jinn became Muslim.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So really the jinn is not necessarily a European or a man of the West, because there was a jinn in Solomon's kingdom.
That's right.
And where he was over there where Israel is now. Jerusalem. And he desired Sheba's throne. He admired her civilization so much, he wanted her throne to be brought to him so he would have for the Jews, or for Jerusalem, the throne of Sheba as the throne of Jerusalem, or the throne of King Solomon. And Sheba is African people.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
You can go over there and see them right now.
That's right.
Yes. In Yemen. In the area of Yemen. That's where you'll find them. So anyway, and you'll see that though time has passed and the Arabs have mixed with them a lot, you'll see your likeness in them. That they must have come from Africa. And the darker they are, the worse, most likely, the worse their situation will be. Over there, isn't that a shame? That's a shame. Everywhere we go and find dark people with light people, we find the dark people in an inferior situation to the light people. Look how many black-skinned Indians there are over there. But you go over there and you see the black-skinned Indians and you see the white ones.
Yeah.
You'll see the upper class and the lower class.
That's right.
There's an exception to the rule. A black one will go up, you know, but on the whole, that's what you're going to see. Now, if I was a white man, turning on to what I know now, I'd be a white man, a sober John Brown. That's what I'd be. A sober John Brown. But I know my calling has to be among the people like you. Because you're the ones that's not saved, but you're the one that's cut out of your promise more than anybody else.
Come on.
You're the one cut out of your inheritance.
Yes.
More than anybody else.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So justice would be that the man that knows, have light on the subject, come among the people who've been kept mostly in the dark.
Yeah,
yes. So this is justice.
I like right.
Yes. So Abraham was known for digging wells. And I've made some comments on the well, the water, the spiritual life. The spiritual life. The spiritual life is under the surface of the material. Even when you can't see it, you go to the ocean or lake and you see plenty of water.
Yeah.
You come to land, you think you've left the water. You haven't really left it. It's underground.
That's right.
Yes, it's underground. So the Quran says, and they shall have gardens underneath which rivers flow.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Gardens underneath which rivers flow.
Yes.
Talking of the material earth, but also talking of the human nature, the human life. Meaning that we don't have to show our spirituality like most spiritually charged people. You meet them, they can't hardly give you a greet without letting out the spirit. Hallelujah, glad to see you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that's the water that's visible all the time.
Yes,
you'll be cool, you know. You'll be calm and sober-minded. Won't be all charged up with a lot of spiritual stuff all the time. And you'll be doing your social business. You'll be doing your cultural business and all your business. You'll be taking care of your communities and your neighborhoods and everything, and having things grow up and multiply, become very rich and productive. And you ain't getting the Holy Ghost every time somebody look at you.
That's right.
You have gardens under which rivers flow. Oh yeah. Gardens under which rivers flow. A beautiful, productive society that have cultivated the earth and the space they live in. And got all kind of beautiful trees and everything and decorated buildings and just a beautiful material environment. Beautiful agricultural environment. Just everything so beautiful. Huh?
Yes, sir.
and you won't be so spiritually charged that it's visible all the time that you're a Holy Ghost son, or spiritual. Yes. Look, go back to the Bible. The Bible says there was a great civilization in ancient times, huh? It was flourishing, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And four rivers went out from it, huh?
Yes, sir.
And what did that area? What was that area? What did that area become? That area became paradise. It's a paradise.
Yes,
so if you understand the Bible tells you that the first perception of paradise was the perception of life thriving and flourishing. Life, human life, thriving and flourishing and being very beautiful and productive and not at war with itself.
Yes.
Having peace, huh?
Yes, sir.
And high quality. High expectations of one another.
Yes.
When it comes to moral expectations.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Decent disciplines and everything. Peace. Quality clothing.
That's it.
Quality property.
Yes, sir.
Quality roads and streets.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, sir.
That's the way the Bible describes it.
Yes.
Oh, that's a beautiful place. And that place where four rivers went out from it and fed the whole surrounding.
That's right.
Four rivers went out from it, fed the whole surrounding. And God gives you your provisions in full measures. It was inherent life. That's all it's saying.
Yes.
The natural inherent life that God released. He caused it to spring forth from those people who devoted themselves to excellence. Their rivers of influences went out and influenced others around them. Influenced them to become beautiful and productive. Huh? That's what it means.
Yes.
And it can be the same within your own soul.
Yes, sir.
When God awakes the soul, the same thing happens.
Yes, sir.
It began to want beautiful things.
Yes.
Want excellent things.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
It begins to improve the appearance of the person.
Yes, that's right.
Make it beautiful and clean and decent and respectful.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. And it's coming from that inherent life that is given always in full. And he gave everything its provision in full measures. And the Bible says, Ezekiel said, yes, this is the valley of death, all right. And there ain't nothing out here but dry bones. But it's prophesied to the wind. Huh?
Yes.
How many winds? Four winds. Prophesied to the four winds. Going back to what is inherent and to awaken it.
Yes.
And it's the spirit that's inherent. Spirit in us, in the spirit form. When he say wind, he means influence their spirit. You can awake their spirit and bring them back to life.
That's
yes. And the Quran makes it very clear for خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى four steps. خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He created, then he established equality. قَدَّرَ, he empowered. فَهَدَى, he empowered the mind, the brain, the thoughts. فَهَدَى, and then guided. So the last one is guidance.
Right.
Hmm? Prophet in the Quran was being mocked, being made fun of by the ruler, the powerful ruler. And the ruler was saying, you don't have any help with me. The prophet said, I obey God who gives life and gives death.
Yes.
The powerful, arrogant ruler said, I give life and I give death.
That's right. That's right.
That was his reply. The final words came from the prophet was, "الذي خلقني سيهديني." He who created me shall guide me. And that's when he parted. He left the rebellious ruler. Said, He who created me will guide me. And the ruler, typical of the ruler who deceives us in these times, not the president, not President Bush. President Bush gets a paycheck. Yeah, same old deceit. And the same thing we should say to them right now. Hey, look, we're tired of this donkey party of yours. Establish to take care of underclass people. You have not much to offer anybody else. Huh? Donkey symbol. Donkey symbol. Mm-hmm. Committed to help the sister husband get a job. Be employed by the rich or by the establishment, the wealth. Give him some medical care. We'll help you get medical treatment. We'll help clean up the medical system so it'll be fair toward you. We want to work toward the day when everybody will have a job, be entitled to a job and have a job, be able to get a job, be able to work. And everybody will be able to get medical insurance or to get medical attention. Everybody. That sounds like a church program to me. Sound like charity.
Right?
Sound like charity. That's about what it is. Are you telling us to quit the Democratic Party? No. If you can do anything to make it better, please, make your party better. And when it changes its symbol from a donkey, I might even come out publicly and say, this is my party. I said publicly. I'm not signed up to the Republican Party. I don't think that. Never. I never have. Never have. Now, their symbol is a big old elephant.
That's right.
A lot of material. Massive animal. Much bigger, has much more weight than a donkey. Much more material weight than a donkey. And when he sounds off, it doesn't sound as grating and as uncomfortable for your ears as the sound of donkeys. That sound is just hard on you. The elephant starts blowing his snout. He sounds like a trumpet. Sounds like a loud trumpet blasting, like a trumpet blasting. And he's just a very, very complex creature. His strength is in his nose. That's his snout. And also his mouth is in his snout. His mouth and his nose in his snout. And his strength in his snout. That's the elephant. You should think about these things a little bit. Why the Republicans chose that sign. He can give himself a bath. He take his same snout with the nose and mouth, and he take out the water, and then he can turn it around and just spray himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he has a shower, portable shower. Just for a minute. He said he takes around with him, he takes water, and give himself a bath. Give himself a bath with the same snout. So the thing that he has his strength in cools him off when he needs it, cleans him when he needs it, and deals with hard tasks when he needs it. To move something out of the way, throw it out of the way, whatever. Using the same thing, the snout. And for his size, he got a very little tail. Not much of a tail. All his intelligence up front. Not back there where his rump is. Something to do. So that's the symbol of the rich life. That's the symbol, the learned rich people life. They like that symbol. And I don't blame them. It's a powerful symbol.
Yes, it is.
Powerful symbol. And it speaks for what they stand for.
Right.
Yes? And they say they are the Republicans. And actually, what is our society? A republic.
That's right.
It's a republic.
Correct.
Democratic republic. So the Democrat has a term that's just a description of this republic.
That's right.
And Republicans, they got the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if you come in and be their friend, oh, they want you now. Because the time is out for the big divide between rich and poor. They know that the system should work for everybody fairly. And there shouldn't be no people by color or by class or anything else shut out of that opportunity. So the Republicans, they're inviting our people to join the Republican Party. And if you like their principles and you want to contribute to business, you want to do business, make business, they welcome you. They welcome you. We don't know what Allah has in the future for us. You know, but one thing for sure, the Muslim leader should always be the leader of Muslims.
Yes.
And let the people decide whether they want to be Republicans or Democrats.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Because this is our life. Islam is our life. Being Muslim is our life. That's what we're going to make sure that we keep. And that we be responsible for it.
That's right.
Now,
don't you all get this opinion.
Train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealer's honking. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. The train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among the loved and most.
So people get ready, there's a train coming.